This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions, so sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Outspoken. Now, Kate, how are you feeling? You're a week in to having your puppy, Sunny. I feel like you're doing a bit better than me. I couldn't even talk after a week of having Archie. I was so tired.
Well, everyone warns you that it's going to be so hard. So I was trying to prepare myself, but I was just so excited to finally get her and give her a cuddle that I hadn't really thought about all the early mornings that were about to follow. And for anyone that knows me, I hate getting up early. And this week I've gotten up and stayed up. Well, I've had a little bit of a nap since 6 a.m. And that's a big achievement for me.
So I feel like there's a lot of people who are like, oh, shut up. I always get up at 6 a.m. anyway. Well, that's because you have had broken sleep though. So she's been getting up every couple of hours. You have been in a little bit of a grumpy mood this week, I have to say, but
look, I think I've been dealing with it pretty well and I'm so excited because it seems like she's pretty much toilet trained. She is super intelligent. She will cry and tell me that she wants to go outside and go to the toilet. So I feel like a very proud mum at the moment.
Now, it was all happening at the Turner's household on Sunday night when you had Sunny, because it wasn't just her arrival that you guys were celebrating.
So it was literally crazy. So Reese's brother, Ryan, it was his birthday on Sunday. So we had a birthday dinner for him. We also picked up Sunny. So it was the first time everyone was meeting her. And then Ryan announced at the dinner that he had proposed to his long-term girlfriend, Pip. And we were just so ecstatic.
It was pretty funny though, because they revealed that they were actually listening to our podcast right before he popped the question. So I feel like we were kind of part of the proposal.
Yeah, Ryan's like, do you think we can turn the Torber girls off for a little bit?
I'm just so excited because even though it's your sister-in-law, Kate, I kind of feel like I'm getting another sister as well. I absolutely love Pip. Sending big congratulations to Pip and Ryan. Such exciting news.
I know. She's the absolute best. And, you know, she's now got three sisters if she wants them or not.
You can't wear a tank top 2 days in a row, and you can only wear your hair in a ponytail once a week. So I guess you pick today. Oh, and we only wear jeans or track pants on Fridays. Now, if you break any of these rules, you can't sit with us at lunch.
Nick and Rosalie Russian recently celebrated the opening of their trendy new venue called Bar Bambi with a star-studded lineup of guests. However, the opening is generating headlines for all the wrong reasons, with former footballer and Nova presenter Luke Brown allegedly catching COVID at the event and potentially spreading it to his famous friends. Now, before we get into it, Kate, can you kick us off with who Nick Russian is?
So Nick Russian is Melbourne's most prolific nightclub owner and entrepreneur. So Nick ran popular nightclub Eve Bar, where he rubbed shoulders with A-list celebrities, including Kanye West and Britney Spears, before selling the venue in 2015. So Nick also runs Together Events, which is a luxury lifestyle and events brand. And in 2020, people might remember that he ran as an official candidate for Lord Mayor of Melbourne and launched a campaign to bring back Melbourne in a bid to drive people back into the CBD post-lockdown. And if elected, he said he would donate 50% of his first year salary to mental health. It's quite funny though, because Nick rose to fame on reality TV show Temptation Island back in 2002. And for those who can't remember, the premise of the show was that four couples were dropped on a Fijian island and were tempted by a string of glamorous single people. Now, Soph, can you tell us more about Nick Russian's wife, Rosalie?
Yeah, so Nick is married to Rosalie Russian, who used to be a ballerina, and she is now an influencer and fashion designer. So she has over 262,000 followers on Instagram and boasts Kylie Jenner as a client. Now, I find this pretty funny because they have been married since 2002, and Nick said that it was literally love at first sight when he laid eyes on Rosalie as she was approaching the entrance to Eve nightclub. He said that his first words to her were that, "I thought I knew every hot girl in Melbourne. Where are you from?" She then explained that she was born in Russia, which suited Nick just fine. He replied with, "Rosalie Russian the Russian. It just rolls off the tongue." Now, after 2 weeks, the couple moved in together, and after 2.5 years, he proposed on the Amalfi Coast. And they now have two kids together, daughter Willow and son Kensington.
Geez, with that pickup line, who would have thought that it actually would have worked for them all this time later?
Yeah, and that they're still together and going strong. Now, we've got to get into what went down a couple of weeks ago. So Nick and Rosalie celebrated the opening of their new bar and restaurant, Bar Bambi, on Thursday the 11th of November, and all of the who's who of Melbourne's social scene were there for the opening. Now, Nick wore a black Gucci suit, which retails for over $4,000, and Rosalie wore a red cutout dress that showed off her abs. She looked absolutely incredible in the dress. They were both wearing very flashy outfits. It really suited the venue because it's a very suave, sophisticated venue.
So this is probably not the best PR for them having COVID breakout in it.
Yeah, it's definitely not a good look. And on the night, it was clear that they were trying to pump up this new venue and generate a lot of good PR because they invited a star-studded lineup of influencers and celebrities. The most notable there were Chris and Beck Judd, and also Luke Brown and his wife Kylie. So now gossip journos from the Herald Sun are reporting that a host of high-profile Melbournians may have contracted the virus at this very glitzy event. So this all came about because Luke Brown and his wife Kylie were at the event and they have revealed that their family of five have all tested positive to COVID. Luckily, they all are double vaccinated, so they seem to be doing quite well at the moment. And we found out about it because Luke appeared on Nova telling everyone about the fact that he had contracted COVID. And it's really bad because he's actually passed it on to co-host Chrissy Swan, who is now staying in an Airbnb to isolate from her children. So it just shows that this virus does not discriminate. It doesn't matter if you're famous, if you're rich.
No, it really doesn't. And Bec Lomez is another influencer who has got COVID and people believe it is connected to attending this event.
Yeah, so Influencer Updates recently did a Q&A asking, what's a secret you know about an influencer? Gosh, that's very dangerous territory. That's very celeb spell check territory asking that. So the account owner then shared a response that said, there's a lot of influencers with COVID at the moment who caught it at an event. Now, Influencer Updates then went on to say, this is from a reliable source, so must be true. The other influencer I can currently think of who has COVID is Bec Lomez. So it is not confirmed whether she attended the event or whether this is just a big coincidence. Now, Kate, for those who don't know who Bec Lomez is, can you tell us a bit more about her?
Yeah, well, a lot of our listeners may recall that we spoke about Bec a couple of months ago because she was outed as dumping a whole lot of cardboard and packaging at a work site next door to her house because the packaging had her name and address left on it. So Bec is based in Melbourne and she has 150,000 followers.
She was also known for infamously breaking stage 4 lockdown restrictions because she apparently exceeded her exercise allowance time whilst in lockdown. If people can cast their mind back to then, at the time, Melbournians were only allowed to exercise for one time of the day, and she went on an extended walk or two walks. It was all very scandalous at the time.
Yeah, well, aside from those things, I do really enjoy her content and I have been really interested to see her updating everyone about what life looks like living with COVID because I feel like you see a lot of negativity in the news about the worst case scenario. So it is good to see someone talking about a milder case. Personally, for me, now that we're having to live with COVID, it makes me feel a bit better seeing the other side of it, not just all the deaths and the worst case scenarios.
Yeah, that's so true. And as you say, Kate, we have spoken about some of the scandals that have involved her, but I have to say I've been following her for a few months now and I have started to really like her. She seems to have a good sense of humor. And I do have to really commend the way that she has spoken about having COVID because it's been very educational and she's been speaking really positively about the benefits of the vaccine because she is double vaxxed. She is one of the first influencers that I have seen share about their experience with COVID. And I feel like it's been really interesting to see the process of quarantining with a close contact because in their situation in Victoria, the close contact is allowed to go about their daily life, but they have to wear a mask while in proximity of the person. The person also has to wear a mask who's got COVID. And it was just really interesting to see how they made it work. They also tried to not have her puppy around her as much because dogs can be a carrier of COVID too. And it was fascinating because she was talking about the fact that she did actually lose her sense of taste and smell. Here's a clip of what she said.
Don't get me wrong. Love these seltzers, can definitely advocate for them being delicious. I have drunk them many times. But it seems that my new taste buds, or lack thereof, seem to just, like, I mean, it doesn't have any strong flavour to me, obviously, because I can't really smell or taste anything, but it's just, I don't know, it's left such a weird taste in my mouth. I have heard of people getting COVID, and not only do they lose their sense of taste and smell, but then certain foods start just tasting repulsive to them, like some of their like favorite foods. Like I watched a whole TikTok of a girl explaining how she can't drink like Pepsi or Coke anymore because it tastes like garbage to her, and she used to love it. So I'm really hoping that doesn't happen to me.
Now, it's really great news because Beck is actually COVID-free now. She got a text message on Saturday saying that she was free to leave, that, you know, she's done a test showing she does not have COVID anymore. And it was pretty funny because on Friday, she shared a reel on her Instagram of a video of her singing along to a song, and the caption said, "When you're double vaxxed and in 2 days, you'll be fully recovered from COVID, so you're basically untouchable." So some followers were a little bit confused by the reel. So Beck posted in a comment, "Having had COVID, it gives you a level of natural immunity paired with the fact that I'm double vaxxed."
It's important to point out though that just because you have had COVID before that you won't get it again, but I think it's less likely.
Oh, but it's quite a coincidence.
Yes, that's all. A coincidence.
Big coincidence.
Not a big coincidence. A coincidence.
No, that's a big coincidence.
That's what the coincidence is. There are no small coincidences and big coincidences.
No, there are degrees of coincidences.
No, there are only coincidences. Ask anyone. Are there big coincidences and small coincidences, or just coincidences?
It was fourth time lucky for Laura Henshaw. The Keep It Cleaner founder finally married her long-term partner, Dalton Graham, on Friday after having to cancel her wedding 3 times due to COVID. However, the big day didn't come without a hitch. Kate, what happened?
Oh, I still feel so sorry for Laura because I absolutely love her. She just seems to be the nicest influencer out there, doesn't she?
She just radiates happiness and joy, I feel.
She's literally like Bambi. Anyway, so on Wednesday, just 2 days out from her wedding, she revealed she had been identified as a close contact of a positive COVID case. What a nightmare. So this, of course, put her wedding into jeopardy and she had to go and get a COVID test. Laura shared a heartbreaking photo of herself crying on her Instagram story and wrote, "I wasn't going to share this, but I got a text this morning about coming into contact with a positive COVID case, and only 2 days out from our wedding, the anxiety is real. I was fine until someone asked how I was. I feel fine and I'm sure I will be negative, but goodness me, sending love to anyone with big events through this time, it's hard to navigate." Also, a big shout out to the beautiful staff at the Alfred Hospital in the testing clinic. They do such incredible work.
Do you know what I love? The fact that Laura Henshaw is having the worst day of her life, finding out that she's a close contact of someone with COVID, yet she still has the kindness and intelligence to point out that she's super appreciative of the medical staff that are helping out and making it possible. I think that influencers should take a note of some of this sort of rhetoric that Laura is putting out because it's very clever and also just comes across as so genuine.
Yeah, that's the thing though. Obviously it is clever and she's a very clever girl. She's got a law degree. She owns her own business. But I do think, as you said, it's very genuine. It doesn't seem forced. It just seems to be her beautiful personality. Well, the good news is, Sophie, that fortunately later that day, Laura shared that her test had come back negative. She wrote, "Yay, oh my gosh, I feel like I need to sleep for 14 hours after today." What I loved even more was that Steph Claire Smith, who is also the co-founder of Keep It Cleaner and Laura's best friend, came around to do Laura's nails for her wedding because her appointment at the nail salon got cancelled while she was waiting for her COVID results.
I can't even begin to imagine what a disgusting mood I would be in if I was in this situation because my boyfriend is freaking out at the moment. South Australia has opened its borders to Victoria and also New South Wales, and I am freaking out about Christmas Day. I am trying to avoid going anywhere because I don't want to be a close contact. Because in South Australia, if you're a close contact of someone and you're vaccinated, you have to quarantine for 7 days. So I'm so scared I'm going to be in lockdown for Christmas. But I couldn't even imagine when you've got all this money riding on a wedding. It's already been cancelled 3 times. You would just think that you were completely jinxed in this situation.
Yeah, you really would. And I mean, it's just horrible. There's enough to worry about with planning a wedding than thinking that you might not even be able to attend your own wedding because you've got COVID.
Mm. I feel like we should get into the wedding because there were so many people in our Facebook community who were desperately awaiting for these photos to come up on Instagram. It felt very reminiscent of when Steph Claire Smith got married.
I was one of these people. And I was having a look at Laura's page and she actually uploaded a photo of her bridesmaids. So, of course, I had a look at their pages and it was actually Laura's bridesmaid, Mina, who shared the first photo from the wedding. And it featured Laura in her stunning gown with her four bridesmaids, which included Steph Claire Smith and Laura's sisters. Now, the photo actually ended up getting deleted because I think someone's like, hang on, Laura's got to post the first photo. So the official photo was shared by Laura on Saturday morning and it did not disappoint. It was such a beautiful photo of her and Dalton kissing at the altar surrounded by stunning white flowers. And I feel like the most surprising thing about this all was the fact that Laura announced Mr. and Mrs. Henshaw, which is, of course, her surname.
I don't think I could love Laura anymore. This is fantastic. Good on her partner for actually saying, yeah, I'm going to change my last name, because there's so many men who would refuse to do this.
And I feel like this really normalizes taking on the woman's last name and creates a lot of positive conversations about it. I'm trying to recall because I do listen to the Kick podcast and I feel like Laura may have discussed this in an episode because she is one of three girls. And I mean, I've had conversations in my office about, well, it would be nice if you are a part of a family that only has girls, that one person in that family continues the family tradition on. And maybe this is why Laura has asked Dalton to take on her name.
Personally, I would love if Brandon one day took on my last name because his last name is Hancock. I mean, no offense to anyone else with the word cock in their name, but I mean, I would. Is Torben not a bit more preferable to that?
Yeah, the thing is, though, that it's very hard to spell our last name.
True.
And hard to pronounce. So I feel like at least people know how to say Hancock. I do like when people do the mashups of their last name. So they create a name together. So Dawn Porter, a famous journalist who I love, I can't actually remember her husband's name, but it had an O in it. So that she's Dawn O Porter, which is great.
I am such a big fan of this move. And I do hope, as you say, Kate, that it creates a lot more conversation around it.
It does depend what your last names are, because I feel like the mashup of Torber and Hancock for you, Sophie, might not go too well, like Torbcock.
Yeah.
Or Hanbur. Maybe Hanbur.
I'm still not a fan of that. Maybe you just come up with your own last name if you don't like either of the names.
Well, my last name, I feel like Turner, which is Reese's last name, really is just like the more Anglo version of Torber. So really, we could go Torbner.
Yeah. I mean, at least you get to keep your initials if you do go with Turner.
Yeah, it's not such a big change for me. Anyway, we really need to talk about Laura's dress because she looked absolutely stunning. The dress was designed by Kaya Studios, which is the same designer that did Steph Claire Smith's wedding dress. And the dress really suited Laura. It was exactly what I thought she would pick out. I actually watched a video on the Keep It Cleaner YouTube channel a couple of months ago where Laura and Steph went to Kaya Studios to pick out a dress for Laura. And they didn't show the dress that she obviously ended up choosing, but I could tell by the dresses that she liked that this was going to be the vibe. For those who haven't seen it, and we will be sharing photos of it on our Instagram page, but it's a boob tube design that goes in at the waist and then puffs out, and there's two layers of tulle sort of material.
It was really classic and she had her hair pulled back. She just looked absolutely so natural and stunning. And I did find it interesting that the bridesmaids were all dressed in white silky dresses, but the dresses were each a little bit different. It looked really beautiful altogether in the photos.
Yeah, it looked stunning with all the white flowers and greenery that were on display. And Laura got married at the Leventine Hill Vineyard, which is in Coldstream in Victoria. And it looked like an amazing spot. There were beautiful vineyards everywhere. And the room that she got married in was stunning.
I also love that her dogs were included in the day. So Bill and Ben, her golden retrievers, were wearing little tuxedos and they had an adorable photo of the four of them. And this was absolute wedding inspiration here because I totally think, Kate, you've got to get a little wedding dress for Sunny, or a little flower girl dress maybe, and a little tux for Shadow.
Yeah, well, I did send this photo to Ray straight away and he's like, oh, is it Laura Henshaw? Has she got two golden retrievers? I'm like, yes, I send you their Instagram photos all the time.
This is who I've copied.
This is who I'm trying to emulate. No. But it's funny you say that, Sophie, because I have hit up two dog wedding providers, I think you'd call them, for the wedding.
Well, it's quite expensive, isn't it? Because they care for the dog in the lead up to the wedding. They get them ready, they brush them, they blow dry them, they get their little suits on, and then they are there looking after them, and then they take them home and have them for the night.
Yeah, it's great. I'm tossing up between two. You'll be happy to hear, Sophie, that one of them actually rents out the little dog tuxedos and flower girl crowns and stuff, so maybe I'll go with those ones.
Oh, fun! I do love the curries, though. They're so gorgeous. You're gorgeous. You're so patronising. I mean, just patronise everyone. Well, you know, I try, True. It's not easy.
Tammy Hembro has announced her engagement to Iron Man Matt Poole. The extravagant proposal included a yacht, roses, and help from Tammy's kids. Sophie, can you tell us more about the proposal?
Well, we got a real insight into the proposal because Tammy shared a professional video that was captured of the special moment. And to set the scene, Matt rented out a luxury yacht and decked it out with red rose floral arrangements and petals. It looked absolutely stunning. So in the video, Tammy emerges onto the top deck and Matt is waiting there for her with the kids. And Wolf and Saskia are holding a sign that says, "Mummy, will you?" Question mark. This was an adorable touch, don't you think, Kate?
It actually melted my heart when I saw this photo of Wolf and Saskia because I feel like there's been a lot of conversations around people feeling sorry for them because their dad, Rhys Hawkins, has gone off to the US with his new wife, London, and their son. But it makes me so happy to see that they have got this father figure in Matt Poole. And I feel like there's been a lot of times where Tammy has praised Matt for taking on her kids as his own. And you can really see this with the proposal. What did you think about them recording the proposal? Because at first I was like, oh, because I thought maybe it wasn't such a big surprise for Tammy, particularly if there's like a professional camera crew around you. But then again, Instagram is her profession and there are so many ways that he could have tricked her why cameras were there.
Oh, I don't have an issue with it at all. Even as an everyday person, personally, I would really like to have my future proposal filmed or some photographer there to take photos because it's such a special moment. And I feel like because it is a surprise generally, most women, you know, and because it is generally a surprise for most people when they are getting proposed to, you probably completely black out and forget what's going on and you don't remember what was said. So to be able to watch it back and show your family that special moment, I think is fantastic. I don't think it ruined the surprise at all. As you say, Kate, they're a pretty extra family. They've got a camera crew who's been following them around for the Hanging with the Hembro show. Maybe she just thought they were filming for that.
That's actually a good point. I feel like filming may have already wrapped on that, but wouldn't it be great if we do get more of an insight into what happened? I do agree with you though. I'm really glad that Amy pulled her camera out at my housewarming to capture when Rhys proposed because you are really in your head in that moment and it's so nice to go and watch it back.
I also think that men should be taking some notes at this proposal because I think he did so well. There are actually businesses. Did you know this, Kate? There are businesses who plan proposals for men. I wonder if he got a little bit of help or the fact that Tammy has so many sisters, I wonder if they weighed in on helping select the ring or the location.
Yeah, well, perhaps because Tammy's family were waiting on the dock to celebrate with the couple. So the yacht made a little detour and picked up the sisters. And I think that was a really nice touch because I've spoken to a lot of people recently about proposals after getting engaged myself. And a lot of people say after the moment, you kind of don't know what to do. And it's really nice to celebrate with a whole bunch of people. And they certainly did celebrate. There was lots of bottles of Moe and also a big grazing platter.
I feel like we've got to talk about the engagement ring. It's all women are talking about at the moment. He did such a good job with it.
Oh, it's stunning. I really love it. So for those who haven't seen it, it's an oval cut diamond, which is surrounded by a band of round and oval cut diamonds. And it is actually called the Head Oval Heels engagement ring, which I thought was a pretty good pun. So Matt had the ring designed by Armands, which seems to be a bit of a jeweler to the influencers. I've noticed that Shani Grimmen is often promoting them and they seem to be popular with the Hembro family. So Amy Hembro had her engagement ring designed by the jeweler and Emily also has a few pieces from there. Tammy also has a diamond necklace from Armands, which makes me think, did Tammy push him in the right direction or did Matt think of this himself?
I think it's more of a case that Matt has gone to her sisters and said, hey, what sort of jewelry does she like? My other theory is that is there some sort of potential sponsorship opportunity here? Was some of the ring gifted so she would post about it on her stories?
Well, it's interesting you say that because the jeweler did an interview with the Daily Mail, which seems a bit strange, and he claimed that they were having over 100 customers call them every day inquiring about the ring. I found this point kind of interesting because I would assume males are normally the people that ring up jewelers to inquire about engagement rings. Do you think people actually are wanting to buy the ring, or there are some nosy people that are trying to work out how much it costs?
Oh, that's a good question. I kind of have to disagree though, Kate, because I feel like women will tell men what they want. You know, there were so many probably women sitting on the weekend saying, oh, look at her ring. I really like this. And then the men are probably thinking, fuck, I'm just going to have to go and find out where to get this ring from. So I think it is a case of women pushing men in the right direction. I mean, my boyfriend has been known to troll through my Instagram and see the people that I'm following and whose style I like and pick presents out for me in that way. So there are some men who are well-trained like that.
So are you going to go like a picture of Tammy Hembro's engagement ring to drop a hint?
Oh, I mean, I do love the ring, but I think that I'd want my own ring. I wouldn't want to do like a pure copy of someone's ring because, I mean, it is very signature Tammy Hembro. I also don't know if Brandon could necessarily afford that ring.
Yeah, we're talking about the price. While the jeweler didn't disclose the actual cost of the ring, when you have a little sneaky look on the Armin's website, there is a ring that is very similar that is priced at $30,700, and that is based on the center diamond being 2 carats. Now, I don't know anything about diamonds, but I would say that Tammy's ring was at least 2 carats.
Well, also the jewels around it in the band were quite large as well. So yeah. I think it would be a lot more than that $30,000 mark.
So in terms of Matt meeting with the jeweler and putting in a bit of a request, apparently the jeweler said that he asked for something that would suit and complement Tammy's finger. Now, I would find it hard to believe that that's actually what Matt said. It seems like a bit of spin there. But apparently they decided to go with a quirkier design that would be more unique with the hope that Tammy would fall in love with it. And it seems like she really has because she has been posting a lot of pictures on Instagram saying she can't stop staring at it. And I really don't blame her. Now, the jeweler said that Matt chose the design because he wanted something nice and big that catches people's attention. It certainly has done that. Do you think that Matt would be feeling a lot of pressure to pick the perfect ring for Instagram?
100%. Look at her career. The whole proposal was very Instagram-based, very aesthetic. Then again, I feel like there is pressure on all boyfriends at the moment to get a grand proposal. I mean, you know, everyday people feel like they've got to keep up with the Joneses as well. And especially when you are seeing content like Tammy Hembro's proposal on your Instagram feeds, there is pressure on everyone, not just boyfriends of Instagram, I think.
Oh, you're exactly right. And it's also the same with weddings. Like everyone sees Instagram weddings and think, oh, well, I have to do the same. And there's massive price tags attached to those sorts of things that, you know, normal people can't actually afford, whereas a lot of influencers would be gifted a lot of these things. I'm not saying Matt was gifted the ring, but you just don't know what deals are going on behind closed doors.
I found it pretty risky because Matt couldn't actually visit Armin's in Sydney because that's where they're based. So he had to do all of the consultations over the phone. So he didn't see the ring before it was shipped to Queensland due to all the border restrictions. Can you imagine that nerve-wracking moment when you open the ring? Imagine if you hated it.
Yeah, you'd be a little bit too far gone. Also, I'm assuming that the jeweler had Tammy's finger size, I don't know what you call it, on file. Because imagine if you got that wrong. Because a lot of times, I mean, my engagement ring had to be resized. And obviously that was a long process. But if you had diamonds all along the band, I feel like that would be a very costly exercise to get it resized.
Now, there are some rumors flying around with people speculating that maybe baby number 3 for Tammy is on the way because she recently discussed how she really wants more children in her life. And I mean, as much as I think that that would be obviously fantastic news, I do hate the fact that people always speculate, oh, why has this proposal taken place? Like, let's just let them be happy.
Yeah, I think the same thing. I think it's a little bit off when people were like, oh, hang on, why has this happened? I mean, I suppose in the scheme of things, Tammy and Matt only went public with their relationship in September 2020. So it seems like it has come about really quickly. But I feel like when you get to a certain age, it becomes clear who you really want to be with. I mean, Tammy's been engaged before to Rhys Hawkins, and it seems like Matt has just swept her off her feet. And I think good on them. Let's just congratulate them and see what happens.
Thank God you're here. Where have you been, bitch? Where have you bloody been?
Entrepreneur and former mummy blogger Sophie Kasia has taken aim at a long-term customer for supposedly talking badly about her in what she calls toxic Facebook groups. Sophie, what happened?
That's right. So what actually happened was, so one of Sophie's customers is in our group, and she made a post in our Facebook community saying that she had always been a fan of Sophie, but after the recent Insta story she had shared, it had really put her off Sophie. So this customer then proceeded to share a screenshot of Sophie's Instagram story where she shared a selfie of herself smirking and wrote, "When my team informed me that a girl who openly bags me constantly in those toxic Facebook groups is also one of our main customers wearing and tagging our pajamas on her Instagram. Thank you for shopping with Kasia. Have a lovely day. Do better, girlfriend. Do better." Now, it appears that Sophie was in fact talking about this customer in our Facebook community, because the customer then shared a screenshot showing that Sophie had trawled back through a year's worth of her photos to like every single photo where she was wearing Kasia pajamas. She then wrote a comment under one of the photos and wrote, "Nice PJs, love."
Gosh, to me, that seems incredibly passive aggressive.
Yeah, it's kind of sending a message that I'm aware of you, I'm keeping up to date with what you're doing. And it's also a little bit threatening in a way, because I feel like so many influencers these days are so quick to screenshot names of people that disagree with them and then publicly shame them on their big platforms.
I do feel like Sophie's chosen her words pretty carefully though, because if you saw that comment, you probably would have thought she was being genuine if you didn't know the backstory.
And just to put it into context, the customer who posted in our Facebook community, she says that she only made one offhand comment about Sophie, and it was in relation to the sponsorship she was doing with Mia Plessic's brand Slick Stick. So she said that it seemed to contradict Sophie's messaging because Sophie owns a hairdressing salon called Boda. I mean, it was a completely valid point to be making.
That just blows my mind, because that comment isn't bullying. It's not nasty. It's literally just discussing a business strategy of Sophie's, which is something that our podcast group does a lot. We love to talk about influencer culture. And it is really interesting when someone who owns a hairdressing salon then spruiks a cheap hair product from Coles.
That's right, Kate, because this customer didn't personally attack Sophie or abuse her in any way. She simply didn't agree with the sponsorship that she was doing. And I think that people are allowed to critique something that you're doing or discuss something that you're doing without hating you. I mean,
yeah.
I just think it's so ridiculous.
But also, is this not biting the hand that feeds you? I mean, Sophie might think, oh, this is just one customer. But I mean, it doesn't set a very good image for Sophie that she's willing to personally call out someone else that has actually bought product from her. That person is helping pay your bills.
Yeah.
And then in turn, this customer's come out and said, oh, wow, I really liked you, but I'm not going to buy your products anymore. And that starts a ripple effect. And to be honest, it doesn't seem like Sophie Kasia has the best reputation at the moment. And I can understand why, if she's going out of her way to call her fans out in such a public way. It wouldn't make me want to buy her pajamas.
No, and that's the thing. You can still like something, like a product like pajamas, and not necessarily agree with the choices that the owner makes down the track about it. I mean, I know that I've brought influencers brands in the past, and now I don't particularly agree or align myself with their values. And whilst I still may occasionally wear their clothes around the house, there is this essence of, well, you don't want to throw something out. I mean, it's pretty bad for the environment if we just start disposing of all of the influencer products we probably got, you know, purchased.
And the thing is, I've actually heard really good things online about Sophie Kasia's pajamas. So as you said, you can like the product but not particularly be a fan of the person. I mean, I'm having that experience at the moment because I've used Sarah's Days deodorant for 2 years now. And obviously more recently, I don't agree with a lot of the things she puts out on her platforms or her stance on certain things, but I still use her deodorant.
Well, I think that's all we have time for. Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. And if you have enjoyed it, could you please make sure you are subscribed on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify and leave us a rating and 5-star review.
And join us in all the conversations in our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community.